morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. This week, I'm going to talk about failure. So, you know that one of the themes of this show is to guide you to see how the Bible can lead you to be prosperous and successful, according to God's promise in Joshua 1:8, that God has given us His Word, the Bible, in order to instruct us, and we need to study it, meditate on it, so that we can carefully do everything in it, so that we may be prosperous and successful. But what about when we fail? Well, I think the Bible has a lot to say about that. I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 26 and chapter 27 this week. And the context is Jesus is about to go to the cross. It is the final hours before he goes to the cross. He's had his last supper with his disciples, and it is that very night that Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." So Jesus has already announced that someone, one of the 12 disciples, would betray him. Now he says, all of you are going to fall away. And Peter does not like that message. Peter has some words with Jesus. Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Peter claims he is the exception. You know, there's no way I will ever fall away from you, Jesus. And Jesus turns and responds to Peter. This is Matthew 26, verse 34. "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Not only once or twice, but three times. Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And it wasn't only Peter. The verse goes on to tell us, and all the other disciples said the same. And we know that what Jesus said would end up being true, that all the disciples, even though they are pledging to Jesus, they would die before they would ever disown Jesus, before they would ever fall away. They all do. That very night, not much longer after they made this solemn vow that they would never leave him. So this represents failure. And the question I have to begin with is, why is this text in the Bible? And there's one reason that's often given that's somewhat helpful, and that is that this account shows us that we can trust the gospel writers. The gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're not written to make the apostles the hero. They're not written with an agenda to, serve some self-interest that they have. The fact that someone like Matthew, a disciple of Jesus, will include something so embarrassing that he made such a solemn pledge and then immediately broke it to Jesus, that speaks to the authenticity of this account, that they're trying to tell us the truth, not just to distort things. And I think there's great value in that. As we read this, we see that the disciples are telling us about events that really happened, that they know about firsthand, and they're even willing to share embarrassing details at time about their involvement. But I think there's a lot more going on in this passage. I think that the gospel writers do often include certain details and leave other details out because they're relatively short accounts. When you think about Jesus, who's the most important person that ever lived, our biographies on him are all pretty short compared to a biography you could pick up in a bookstore today on, say, a president or an important leader or someone like that. So they are very selective, and they include details to make a point, to teach something important, to help us know what we need to know as followers of Jesus. How do we follow Jesus? What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus? So these are the disciples of Jesus using these accounts about the life of Jesus and these key events to help make more disciples of Jesus. And so they believe it's very important that we know that failure happens. The disciples say, hey, look, we failed Jesus big time in the key moment when Jesus wanted us to be with him. We completely failed him. And it wasn't just an oversight. We had just vowed that we would die rather than do what we went on to do a few hours later. All of us did this. And so this is a lesson on failure. So let me start off this week by saying that there are two kinds of failure. One kind of failure that you can have as someone who professes faith in Christ is to not care, is to not have fruit of salvation in your life, is to say, well, I made a profession of faith, I got baptized, I did what I needed to do, now I'm going to heaven, so I'm not going to concern myself with following biblical teaching. If there's something I want to do, even though I know it might be wrong, I'm just going to do it anyway. At least I know I'm going to heaven. I know I don't do a lot of things right. There are things I need to work on in my life, probably. I'm not always the best person. I know I need to deal with this bad habit, or I need to forgive so-and-so that I don't want to forgive. And, you know, I need to do these things if I were to be a good Christian. But it's just too hard, and I don't really care. At least because I made a profession of faith, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. And I have to say, if that is your attitude, don't count on going to heaven when you die. There is a teaching that runs throughout the Bible that salvation is through faith in Christ. And faith in Christ is not about saying a prayer or doing certain things like baptism and checking them off the list and saying, okay, now I can go about my business. Faith in Christ means trusting in the author of life, the one who's given his life for you, the one who is Lord over heaven and earth, and to trust in him means you care about what he says, what he teaches. You know he loves you. You know he wants what's best for you. And so you, if you have truly put your faith in him, he also gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit and changes your heart and gives you a desire to follow him. So if you're not concerned about failure, then you may not really know him. But that's not the kind of failure I want to focus in on this week. Some of you may say, oh, I know I should be doing certain things, and I want to do what Jesus calls me to do, but I fail. Why do I fail? Why do I fall short of following Jesus Christ? And if so, if it's a concern to you that you don't want to fail and you want to know, you know, what am I supposed to do with this fact that I fail? Okay, now this isn't about evidence of salvation. Now this is something you just need to know. As a true follower of Jesus Christ, you need to know what to make of the fact that you fail. And the first thing the Bible tells us is that we all fail. I think the reason why the Bible tells us Peter was so adamant that, no, I am willing to die before I disown you, I will never disown you, and then he goes on to disown Jesus, is so that we can see that, hey, even the first key leader of the church, even Jesus' closest disciple, who he gave the most training to, who he appointed as a leader of his church, even Peter completely failed at a key moment. And if Peter could fail, you can fail. And so the starting point here is to know that failure is part of the Christian experience. None of us are going to carefully do everything written in the Bible. I know that the Joshua 1:8 promise says that if you meditate on God's word day and night, you are to then be careful to obey everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. The truth is, none of us will ever be perfectly prosperous and successful because we're all going to fail at times. And the lesson, what we want to learn a couple things as we go through it this week. We want to learn, why do we fail? We want to learn what to do when we fail, and we want to learn some things about how to stop failing at least as much as possible, to grow to overcome failure. And I think that this passage here in Matthew 26 and 27 helps us with all of these things. We're going to look, starting tomorrow, at Jesus. He says here, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's a very good clue about how to think about failure. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.